for your goodness and grace. Thank you that you have called Pastor Byron to be one of the pastors of this church. And I pray this morning that you would move in his mind and heart, anoint his words to speak what you would have for us to hear, and let us hear what you say for the gathering place this morning. We thank you for that, Lord, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. It's working right away. Thank you, Jerry. Wow, loud and clear. By the way, Selena, I so appreciate that you brought my brother to church. And I know you're one of his caretakers, but I want you to know there's a blessing behind what you're doing. And for all your work and hard working with my brother and caring for him, God has a special blessing for you and your sister. It was really kind of fun. Lydia had Nancy and I, we got to come. He had a bunch of different people from different churches, and she said, I want you there to share the reality of Jesus and the power of his name to heal. And so I shared that at the end of our time. As you know, Peter has a hard time sleeping. So at the end of the time, I laid hands on Peter, and I said, and I declared over him for that night that he would sleep through the night.
He did.
And then Lydia texted me the next morning. She said, wow, she didn't even know I prayed for him. But she said, wow, Peter slept through the night. But you know what? God has more than just one night. And he has healing for us, and it's ongoing. And I pray for my brother Pete for healing and rest in Jesus' name. And thank you again for taking care of my brother. Amen. And it's Prophetic Sunday, and we'll see if God has words for us at the end of the service. Today's message is a result of a prophetic word. Kara, some time ago, heard from the Holy Spirit and said, go back to the roots and have a teaching on Isaiah 61. So this is the launch on that Isaiah 61 that came through Kara as one with a prophetic gift, and now it's arrived. And I believe every one of us is going to walk out of here with something new in your life, something unique in your life. So if you have ears, open them up and listen. So Father God, guard my mind. I thank you, God, that you said that you are the God of a renewing mind. And Father God, as my thoughts are connected with your thoughts, my words reflect your heart to your people. In Jesus' name, amen, right? Amen. So, you know what, if we're gonna look at Isaiah 61, we're gonna go to Luke and find out that Jesus had a moment in time when in synagogue or church that he opened up the scriptures, and we're going to start with that because he referred, and this is, he's starting his ministry, he's starting to go forward and in the goal to die for us, and so he's launching this, and he goes to the place where people were gathered together to hear from God. And it says as in Luke 4, he says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news of him spread throughout the whole countryside. Do you know, you and I cannot fully live for Jesus Christ without holding on to the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew it. We need to know it. That when he went to the region of Galilee, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift you and I ever received when we gave our life to Jesus was the indwelling Holy Spirit to take residence in our life. to open up the truth of who he is. We're going to get into that later. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unfolding it, he found the place. He, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, they gave him a large scroll, the book of Isaiah, and he unrolled it. He found a place. Very important. He found a place that the people in that room needed to hear. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and to recover the sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Half a verse, and he stopped. Then he said, he began saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What did he want them to hear? Let's go back. The Lord is in me. The Lord anointed me. The Lord sent me. He said, Isaiah was talking about him. And it raised up kind of a frenzy amongst the people. And we won't go into that because they are all upset, because they're in their hearing, they weren't quite ready to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the true Son of God, born of a virgin, came supernaturally in this world for a purpose, to give life to all of us. He said, he ended at today's the day of God's favor. And you know, many of you, I come to you during the week or here at church, and I said, You know what, guys? You are greatly loved and highly favored. It's essential to know how much we're loved in that we have God on our side. So when he says it's the day of the favor of the Lord, what happened is very important. What happened after he declared this? What happened after he declared it? In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the demons know who he is. But he said, what was the first thing to happen when he says, the favor of the Lord has come? And then the first thing that needed to be dealt with was demonic forces. Before healing. The first encounter was that he took authority over a person that was bound by an impure spirit. That's healing. That's freedom. That's what Isaiah was talking about. That's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. And how do you deal with it? One word from Jesus and everything changes. What he said? Be quiet, he said, sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. No harm to him. He was set free. He was delivered and helped. So We're going to get into this as we get into the message. The first thing that Jesus went after is to crush the kingdom of Satan. The next thing in that scripture, following the Isaiah prophecy, was he left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on all of them. The second thing that happened, he dealt with the kingdom of darkness. And the second thing he did was started a ministry of healing those who are sick. And when that healing took, I love what when the healing took place for Simon's mother-in-law. For all of us guys that have mother-in-laws, love your mother-in-laws. Love your mother-in-laws. You know, when Nancy and I were getting married and we were in the process of getting all the activity done and all the, and making all the preparations. And you know, it's going to be twice as hard for us to get rid of each other because we were married twice in the same day. So we were married in the church I was attending, and then we were married in the Eastern Orthodox Church because we wanted God's favor over my relatives in the Eastern Orthodox faith. So be kind. My mother-in-law, before we were ever married, she pulled me off to the side and says, "You know what, Byron? I'm so happy to welcome you into our family. And I am no longer to be called your mother-in-law. I am to be called your mother-in-love." And you know what? She fulfilled that promise all the days of her life. And we were able to take her out and have her move into our house and take care of her for the remaining of her days. And it was such an honor to care for my mother in love. So then it goes on at sunset. You know, Jesus was a very active person. By the way, going back to the mother-in-law, she was healed. Healing equals service. Get that? She was healed and then waited on them and start cooking a nice meal. Being healed and restored health equals service. You're going to be blessed for what you do. At sunset, the people brought Jesus all who were have various kinds of sickness. Laying hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them that they would not be allowed to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. You know, I love this thing. It was from the mother-in-law to the crowds. And how close can you get to the crowds then for Jesus to touch them? Touch them. He took there's a lot of people there. But he took the time to touch them, have that connection, that touch connection. And it says they were healed. And at daybreak, he went to a solitary place. You know what? This is really important for all of us. You know what? We can't get so busy in our life that we don't take a time to be quiet. Take a time to pull aside and let all the frustrations and all the issues of life just throw them out and spend personal time with Jesus. Jesus felt it very necessary after a full day's work, working the kingdom of God, from the mother-in-law to the crowds, almost all night long, and then early in the morning, he went to a quiet place to spend time with his Father, because he knew that's where the strength, that's where the renewed strength comes from. And the people were looking at him, and they came to where he was. They tried to keep him from leaving them, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues in Judea. You see, we're unique, but we're not unique. God's message goes beyond the gathering place, goes beyond Libertyville, goes beyond Chicago, Illinois, the 50 states, the nations need to hear the wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back. Now we've had this journey where Jesus proclaimed the truth of Isaiah 61. There was much more said. And it was very unique where he left off. But let's start where Jesus started. And the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's where he left off. But if we continue on Isaiah 61, it goes on to say part B of that verse, the day of vengeance of our God. Kind of unique. To comfort all who mourn. See, there's a day coming that wasn't when he came the first time. He came the first time to redeem us, to set us free, to offer us his love and forgiveness, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to give us a gift of righteousness. But then he ended there because there's another time in history when he'll return, and it's called the day of vengeance. The day when God's going to come back and make everything right. And it's an awesome day, but in saying the day of vengeance, there's a preparation. There's a preparation to comfort all who mourn. In that day of vengeance, as that day approaches, God, what we're going to read here, God moves in and restrains the activity of the enemy so his plan can be unveiled. You follow me on that? His day of his vengeance is coming, but certain things got to happen, and the enemy has to be restrained so it can happen. Follow me? That's why this is not confusing. The day of vengeance of God to comfort all those who mourn. It's coming, but I'm going to energize the church. I'm going to energize my people to accomplish some tasks before I return. And what is that? To provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. God's going to take care of you. He's going to care for you. And ashes, like when something tragic happened or something happened, they would pour ashes on themselves. And it's not a time to do that. It's a time to experience the beauty of the crown of beauty of God Almighty. An oil of joy instead of mourning or weeping or crying. The oil of joy. The Holy Spirit is going to be released in his people to do the beyond what you can ask or think. Oil, Holy Spirit. The oil. And guess what? When whatever you and I are going through, remember the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, and he's going to pour out his oil on us to strengthen and fortify us. The garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. It's going to be a time of singing in your worst time of life. You know, we have that illustration when the apostles were in jail and in a terrible place, in the lower dungeon, where and that's the worst place to be because all the people, all the junk is coming from down from the upper things and they're down the lower things. And what do they choose to do? Sing. Sing. Praise our God. And God delivered them from the despair of being bound and locked up. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. God desires you and I to be that beautiful person in this earth that is enjoying the fullness of who he is. And I pray for our church. I pray that faith will be lifted up here and we'll grow in faith, that nothing so terrible can happen to us that God's not greater. That he's not greater. No disappointment can be so hard that he's not greater. Right. And that we will be like the oak tree, the oaks of righteousness, the God's in us, planted of the Lord, and we're on display. We're on display. What are people seeing in you and I? Grumbling? Upset? No. He's seeing people victorious over all the things they're going through. Not victims, but victors. In Jesus' name. They will build up the ancient ruins. Restore the places that long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Our generation witnessed this. In 1948, Israel was born. What? What? This great thing that God is doing, and you know, and just think about what happened before Israel was born. Just think about it. The enemy leashed out a demonic man that tried to annihilate the Jewish population in Germany and France and other places. And he was put down, restrained, gone. At that very time in history, Israel was born. Yes, he will build the ancient cities, ruins, restore the places long time devastated. He will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated by generations. What rings out to me, and the knowledge I try to grab from learning and listening to Scripture. What pops up in the news? Biblical names of cities that were long forgotten and now they're in the headlines. The ancient cities where Jesus went, where the apostles went, and the names of these cities are popping up in our news. It's like we're in a renewed biblical time. A renewed biblical time. And so in light of that, I'm going to reverse these a little bit. Twyla, I'm going to do the Luke one first before John. We're going to take a hard look at Jesus' ministry, and hopefully it's going to raise up our faith in Jesus' name. It's going to define for us some things where the battle is, where is the actual battle, where is the place of fighting, all right? So in Luke 13:10-13. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Crippled by a spirit. When we're dealing with health issues, is it health issues or is there something behind the health issue? Crippled by a spirit. We know from the Word of God that sickness does not come from the throne. It comes from the enemy who's out to destroy us. What went on here? She was there in the synagogue, and he saw this woman, and he didn't go do anything. He said words first before activity. What did he say? "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." I guess that's the battleground. That's my battleground. That's your battleground. Do we believe what he says? Because he made a statement to the woman that she had let them have ears, let them hear. She had to get the unclogged out of her ears and hear what he was telling her. He's telling her, when he said this, she was still crippled. Right? He said to her, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hand on her, and she was immediately straightened. I'm praying for that for you. You suffered scoliosis for many years. Woman, you're free. Believe it. We have so many opportunities in this church. The enemy's been messing with us. Lupus. Ankles. All these issues. Ears, let's listen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. She heard faith words from Jesus before she was healed. Then Jesus laid hands on her And she straightened up. And she straightened up. Now we're going to go to John. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. I was with Jonathan this week. I asked him, how long have you been in your bed? He said, almost 7 years. I said, Jonathan, the day's going to come, you're going to walk out of there. You're going to wake up in the morning and get out of bed, and he'll be here. Then Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. And he asked him an interesting question. Do you want to get well? Our beautiful Jesus asked them a core question. Do you want to get well? He saw him. He knew he was this condition for a long time. And yet, faith was about to give birth to the miraculous. I love that song, Catherine, The Miraculous, right? So he said, Sir, he replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Do you want to get well? You might want to paraphrase that. I've tried everything humanly what I can do. I've tried it. I've camped out at this pool for years. But don't you know there's no one here to lift me up and put me into the water to be healed? You know, it's wow. He said, his answer was, I'm trying. Who's the one that makes things possible? Jesus. You know what? It might speak to you and me. It speaks to me. Sometimes I try so hard to do something, and finally when I give up trying and say, Jesus, you got this, that's when something happens. That's when something happens. So he says, so Jesus answered him, you know what, dude, you've tried hard. I'll give you that. But get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now he was confronted to take an action on what he just heard. He said, get up, man. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. But I'm supposed to be put in the water. We can do a lot of you know. But at once, there was a brief At once, that word became rhema. It became truth. He was confronted with the man that just a moment later said, do you want to get well? And now he's telling him, pick up your bed and walk. And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And I'm saying to my own self, it's saying that God's at work all around. But you know what? Why not here? Why not now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not when we're gathered together in the presence of our Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, welcomed here? Why not now? Why not now? Why not take the words he said and believe them and take an action? Take an action. Get up and walk. You know, do it. Do it. There's an interesting place, because these verses here came to me early this morning. It wasn't really part of it, but Holy Spirit says this is necessary. And an interesting part of this message about Jesus, his authority, his power, who he is, and go backing up. Remember when he read the Isaiah passage that the favor of the Lord is now? What was the first thing he went after? Demonic forces. What was the next thing that followed right behind it? The healing of the sick, the oppressed, and all those who had all kinds of issues. As we approach the end of time, there's something here uniquely written down from John when he was on the island of Patmos. Revelation chapter 20. And this is Jesus doing this. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed him over him, and he kept him from deceiving the nations until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. See, history forward, when and during this time of millennium, the same thing happens. He locks Satan up for 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when 1,000 years were over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. He's good at it. He's very good at it. And I want my heart for this church that we will know the truth and the truth that sets us free. That we will know Jesus. That we will know the power of the Holy Spirit. That we won't be discouraged when things don't happen the way we thought they should happen, but we will be encouraged by every word and truth of the Word of God. And we're going to end this message with another verse, because you know what? Sickness, illness, family conflict, lack, financial issues, heart issues, all kinds of issues, they're all having... Their source of all that stuff is the devil and his demons. And we have Jesus. Are we using his name with complete trust and faith in it? He said, ask me anything, ask the Father. I don't think there's any room there. I will do it. But in the whole scenario, it says when you're in this place of doing life's battles, it's very interesting to me that he says that what we're gonna receive from the throne is not so much what we're praying and contending for, but what's coming out of our mouth. Back to this. He deceives the nation. He's a master at deception. I want to encourage us. When we're doing life's battle, and we're going through the most difficult times of our lives, never forget who you are, who you belong to, and the authority that you have in his name. And don't give any room for, he won't do it for me. Remember? Are you willing to be, do you want to get healed? Remember that? God's heart is there to help you, minister you, love you, carry you forward. God's heart is to heal the brokenhearted, to take the stress out of our lives. He's there to help us. He's there to help us. And he has the authority. He has all authority, not the devil. The devil happened to be defeated 2,000 years ago and rendered unable to do anything that he try. Not that he won't try, but he's not able. Because I've given you authority over all his power. Given, but is given through the matchless name of Jesus. Matchless name of Jesus. Now, ending up here, where does this take us to? Ephesians chapter 6. It's been a good journey. Jesus ends Isaiah with the day of the favor of the Lord. And he went about defeating the enemy and helping those in need. And then this whole purpose that even the disciples couldn't get their head around it. He said, guys, I'm here to be the Lamb of God, to be sacrificed for generations ahead, which includes us. All right? So, Jesus is much, much, much stronger than Satan. He beat him up on the cross. Now, how does that relate to you and me right now, 2,000 years later, in this crazy world we live in? Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I don't know about you, but I want to go there sometimes. Even this week, this is your pastor talking, even this week, late in the week, I woke up and almost for a full day, I felt so much anxiety in my spirit. And maybe all the information and all the craziness that's going on in the world. And I said, why am I allowing all the stuff that's going on in the world to create anxiety in me? And it took a whole day of saying, no, I belong to someone that's above all that's going on. I belong to him. And I tell you, by the time the evening came, Nancy didn't even know I was going through. Maybe she might have detected, but I didn't say anything. But boy, when I hit the bed, and I said, God, I belong to you. It's all about you. It's all about who you are. I don't care what the enemy's doing. I don't care about, I just trust in you. I'm completely yielding myself to you. And you're my God, and I slept beautifully. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not, as we learn, you learn sicknesses, my dear, scoliosis, right? Lupus, ankle. What else is going on around there in this room? Dealing with your mom, whatever. And all this stuff can bring anxiousness in our life. But you know what? We need to learn that our Jesus defeated the enemy. And our battle is not heart issues in Jesus' name. Our focus, and it's so easy to go, our focus might go too much focus on the devil, not enough on Jesus. Got me there?
Yep.
You know? And too much focus on what he's doing, rather the knowledge of what he's doing. He's the authority of all. He's the coming back king. He's the one that in the last days that he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. He's the one that's setting the captives free. He's the one that's healing the lame and the blind see. He's the one. He's the one. And let's dumb down the Satan. I mean, he's powerful. He does his stuff. But dumb him down. And know your place. And know the authority you have in Jesus' name. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And, amen, he's given us authority over all of it. Take the name of Jesus and walk with your chin up and your knees on the ground. Right? I hope this was a blessing to you. It was, you know what, I'll tell you, whenever I'm up here sharing these things, it first becomes a blessing to me because I need to hear it. It becomes all about me and my connection with God and through Jesus Christ. And what happens when I put in this position to talk, it flows out of what he is to me coming out to what he should mean to you and all of us. It's a prophetic Sunday, and if anybody wants to come up here, has a word, and help me out here. Thank you, Jesus. For what you, if some of you, our guests may know what is prophetic Sunday. It means we are asking the Holy Spirit to give us words to encourage us as a body. It's okay to be silent for a while. Marianne, I love your car. That's so flashy and cool. And I saw you driving it, and I tell you, I know about cars. I work on my old cars. I love there's certain cars can have a certain positive thing in our life, but your car changed. It changed while you were driving it to a chariot of fire. And He wants you to know that he's doing life with you. He's doing life with you. And whatever little things, a neat car like you have, ever that's really small to what he's got planned for you, because he has you riding in a chariot of fire. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
I think that means I need to bring it to you for a tune-up.
Bring it for a tune-up. You know what? I'm glad you said that, because also our lives need a tune-up. I hope that's maybe
that's exactly what I meant.
That's exactly what you meant. Okay. And we need to tune up. So yeah, no, you can come up. Yeah.
So use the mic.
That's why I heard the spirit was on.
There we go.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The spirit pointed you out by